leading up to this moment too.
And
obviously, this was meant to be this share that we had today was meant to be because we got put through the Olympics trying to get together and have conversations in between your travel, my travel, and the wonderful stone-aged technology that we were trying to work with last time we got to connect.
Yeah, I was in Siberia there, so I was a little further away than Moscow. It's like far east of Russia. Now I'm on a little more in the civilization. And I guess you're in the city now. You're not out on an Indian reservation.
I'm not. We're right in Los Angeles. So we're actually perched up on this beautiful hill up in Porter Ranch, and I have a view of the whole valley. And there's eagles. There's not eagles, but hawks that fly through this valley all the time. It's gorgeous. So it's a perfect setting.
Yay. Great place to breathe up there in the hills.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. We actually do a lot of the private practice out of this location too, one-on-one with people. So we actually do a lot of the work here too, plus the personal work.
Well, beautiful. So let me take a minute and introduce you to everyone who's on the call, and for those who will be listening in to the recording. It is such a privilege, such an honor, such a blessing, such a pleasure to have on this call with me Michael Brian Baker. And Michael is the man behind this movement of Remembrance 2015, One Tribe, One Heart, One World. Is that it, Michael?
One Heart, One Tribe, One Planet.
There it is. Yay. So that's perfect. And as I tell people, you know, I've been traveling around the world for 40 years and sniffing out anyone who's devoted to the breath, who's using the breath, anyone that's in service to the breath, that's doing miracles with the breath. And this year you kind of just made your way to the top of my list, you know. After following you a bit and watching what was happening and then meeting you in Venice earlier this year and able to confirm my feelings and my sense about you. So it's really, really wonderful to have you on board and on this call. So I'd like to give it over to you for a few minutes. And from your side of it, let us know who we are blessed to have with us today.
Well, thank you, and this has all been so beautiful for me as well in so many ways. I you probably thought I was joking around when I said the last time that we spoke, I said to Dan, I said, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And it's kind of, you know, reflecting on it, it's interesting. You know, you call me from Siberia, and then you say, oh, I'm in a more civilized place now. Now I'm in the middle of Warsaw, or I'm in, you know, just all of these different places throughout the world. And I really do mean, you know, as I develop my skills in communication and compassion and presencing and grounding, and obviously through our lineage, our sacred lineage, and the practice of pranayama or the breath, I really do have this desire to have it take me throughout the world so that I can share so much more with people of all over. Because my thing is about no barriers, the breakdown of the system that has us thinking as human beings that we're separate or different or, you know, all of it, the walls. I'm interested in liberation. And tell a little bit about myself. You know, about 12 years ago, I was introduced to the yogic path. I was a guy, I've done just about every job that you can possibly think of. I was born in a, you know, middle class family. My father was in the entertainment business. My mother was a teacher, stay at home mom, and they were both very academic. Both my parents were academics, and it was a fairly tough environment. Some people might be able to relate with that, because for me, I was always more of an artistic kid who loved sports, and I never really thrived in a classroom under fluorescent lights or where I felt the competition to succeed with anything scholastic that would measure my skill. And it was really interesting, because I left home at a super early age, and I think for me, I grew up in a household of third generation, maybe folks that actually experienced quite a bit of suffering from things like the threat of war, starvation, disease. And through that fear, probably a line of also racism against different cultures and different belief systems. And I knew from a very, very early age that would just didn't resonate with me. And so from a very early age, I was striving and I was searching, searching to find out the reason why there was so much anger and fear and discomfort and judgment and critique. And I was also always fascinated with magic, too, really fascinated by it. And one of the things that I think really led me to where I am now in this family, and I do mean a family, because out of 7 billion people on the planet, to be sitting here with you and these particular folks, or the folks that will call in and retrieve this download this transmission later, is a very unique place to be. Those who've discovered this gift, this key, this gateway to non-ordinary states of consciousness, and really what I believe to be the evolution of humanity. I don't believe that working with the breath or breath work is just merely an exercise, psychological exercise. When I was led to all of the things that normal people are led to based on what society would deem the most productive, be it school or job that would make more money so that I could provide a better lifestyle for myself, I always ended up getting caught up in status. Would it be the amount of money in my bank, or perhaps the car that I drove, or the clothes that I wore, or the vacations that I was able to take? And I was left feeling very, very empty. And I'd forgotten that I was really just a being of love. Just really a person who wanted to be seen and accepted and appreciated for who I was. And so in the midst of this struggle 12 years ago, to loop around here, I was led to the yogic path. And the way that happened was I was in the wine and champagne business. Of course, something stimulating and that used the senses, right, the olfactory senses. Not that I would see that back then, but this whole trip has been very beautiful in the way that it's planted seeds along this trail. And I talk about senses because I'm going to come back to them. And one of the young men who used to come in and buy champagne and wine from me was a yogic devotee. But he was also a multimillionaire who made his first $1 million at age 26 in real estate. And as he got to know me, we became better friends and we started spending more time together, and he could see something special in me. And so he would say to me, hey, read this book or listen to this tape, because at that time cassette tapes were still in circulation. And he was trying to introduce me to a gentleman whose Western name was Dr. Richard Alpert.
Ah, yes.
And Dr. Richard Albert was back in the late 60s, tenured Harvard and Yale professor of psychology, and very highly respected. His father was in the railroad business and a lot of other businesses, and they had accumulated quite some wealth, his family. They lived in upstate New York. And this gentleman would later become disillusioned with the teachings of formal psychology for the lack of expansion that they had, and found that through the use of psychedelics other means, that there were ways to reach these levels of non-ordinary states of consciousness and God realization. But the challenge was that every time that these people used these chemicals, they would, number one, come down, and number two, that many of them would get ill if they kept using these chemicals. And so he had headed out to find out how to obtain these states of bliss without having to ingest a chemical. And so he set out on a hunt for sages and saints. And he went to Turkey, and he went and studied with the Sufis, and he went, you know, and studied with the Buddhists. And he basically covered the globe and ended up in India, and was introduced to a little old man in a blanket named, what they called him, Maharaji, which means great king. And Maharaji was known by a lot of different names, Lakshman Das, but he ended up being known best to his Western followers as Neem Karoli Baba. Neem Karoli was a place, maybe you've heard of like neem toothpaste, or the neem tree. So Neem Karoli was the place, and Baba meant father, so the father of Neem Karoli. And my teacher, who would become my teacher, met this gentleman and experienced, he finally found what he was looking for. He finally found somebody that wasn't at all focused on anything outside of the self or the heart to reach ecstatic states of bliss, and found that this person not only could stay in contact with the divine, but could actually bring through that energy and heal the sick and perform, I'm not going to get too into this side of it, but let's just say that if Ram Dass, which is what his name became later, Ram Dass, had been into magic too as a youth, as I was, that he would become fascinated with this gentleman who did all kind of extraordinary feats. So this friend of mine who'd been giving me these tapes and these books was turning me on to Ram Dass, who wrote a book called Be Here Now in the late 60s. And this book sold more copies than the Bible at that time.
Oh, yes. I remember the original copies were on brown paper.
Yes.
And they had rope as the binding on them. Wow, you know, Ram Dass woke up a whole lot of people. This really is one family, Michael, because, you know, Ram Dass there as a Harvard professor was one of my very first original sparks, you know. Listening to him, studying with him, meeting him, just opened up, you know, I could say he definitely was one of the first people that got me on the spiritual path, non-Western spiritual path. It's amazing how this really is a family, brother.
So much so. And we find out more and more. I didn't know that about you. You and I haven't talked about that yet. It's no wonder. It is a family.
I keep hearing my history in yours. It's really quite beautiful. And so it's no, you know, there are never any accidents, never any coincidences, but it's always lovely to look back and go, aha, this is why I felt such a connection to this guy. This is why we've come together. We've been together without realizing it for so long. And I love, you know, what you're talking about for those people. I'm sure Ram Dass is not unknown to most people on the line. And just the merging of East and West that took place in the 60s and accounted for such an awakening, you know, and such an amazing, so many seeds were planted in that, in those years. And, you know, I think what you're talking about, you know, this waking up to, hey, there's limits to what we've been taught about just how much pleasure or joy or happiness or aliveness we can derive from those structures and those habits and patterns that we were all brought up in. And many people probably go their whole lives before they realize how limited and what a box that we live in. And sometimes we just can't tolerate it, and something forces us to, you know, leave, you know, set out on a path, break free from, and sometimes against resistance from family and culture and even our own mind. You know, what am I doing? You know, how am I going to pay my rent? What the heck? But there's something so much bigger and stronger. It's almost the Bodhisattva calling. You know, it's like we're here for a purpose, and we forget what that purpose is. We get caught up, and we're so busy surviving or just, you know, going along, and our conditioning takes over, and drugs create a chemical barrier between us and our soul, and there's so much unconsciousness in the world, and it's so easy to forget and to get lost and forget why we're here. And it has to do with, you know, ending suffering and waking up to the possible. And I, you know, and as you speak and as I met you, and I want people to know that, you know, there, I remember in our first call, which people didn't get a chance to hear, but I really loved everything I heard about, you know, you're in this predicament where, you know, when you ask yourself who you are, hey, am I this guy who was born here? Am I this guy who does this, who teaches this? Am I this person who lives in this place? Or am I this? Am I that? And that seeking, that questioning, that's such an important step to take. You know, who am I and why am I here and what's really important? And, you know, what's not going to let me go until I fulfill it? You know, what's going to eat at me until I satisfy it, until I, you know, live my purpose? And so you're a good example of a modern day yogi. And I love how, you know, it's maybe, I don't know, for it might feel to you like a switch, or maybe it's a gradual, something takes over and energy moves through you. And I experienced that when I was with you, and I experienced it as I listen to you, how open you are to the message of spirit in the world, and how, what a vehicle and what a vessel and what a channel you are for, you know, what needs to happen in this world. And, you know, identifying the problem, the illusion of separation, and the, you know, the shoring up of barriers and boundaries, when what we need to be doing is getting in touch with this oneness and this connection and this unity that's really the reality we live in. And your goal, you know, to take part in our evolution, and that leads to liberation, and your focus on the heart. And so this would help everyone who's listening, you know, listen with your heart. Get conscious of your heart. Breathe into your heart. And don't just listen to the words, but be present in your own heart space as you're listening. Because words get translated into what we already know, into who we already are. And if we're focused on our heart, something in us can wake up. It's not about giving information. It's not about, so, you know, more things to do. It's about a spark or finding catalysts that can wake up something in us. And if that's going to happen, we need to be in our heart in that moment. We need to be open to that way of listening and experiencing. So everyone who's on the line, please do that now. Take a couple of breaths. Relax and quiet your mind. Become focused on your heart center. And see what else is possible in this moment besides just listening to a really beautiful man and some really wonderful stories and some really valuable information? What is it that's moving in you? What is it that's happening in you as you listen? And be conscious of that from a place in your heart. And that's one of the things I love about you, Michael, that it's impossible for me to forget my heart space when I am around you. I have a really beautiful friend and teacher, Shakti Milan, who, when I tell people why I love her so much, I say because it's just impossible to be unconscious in her presence. And so, and I could say the same thing about you, that it's impossible not to be connected to my heart and to be in a space of love when I am near you, with you, listening to you. And so that tells me something about where you are and where you're coming from and how spirit and love and life is using you. So keep going, brother. I'm all ears and all heart, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And I really liked something that you shared that I'd like to just mention again. So think about when you said, and isn't it just like the Buddha or the story of, right? Isn't it just like the story of Siddhartha, right? That we're born and what, we're protected by our parents from what? From what's actually going on in the world, the violence, the greed, the corruption, the fear, the famine. And then we step outside of our homes eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
We demand to go into it instead of being kept in the crib or warm in our little blanket. And eventually within each one of us, there's a desire to create change and to connect. God, so the divine great spirit made us in whose image?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that I'm being clear here, that we are all having the revelation or a mani padme hum, the realization of reconnection with the inspiration or in spirit that happened at the foot or seed of consciousness, each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this peace cannot be avoided or sidetracked, or we can try. I mean, you can try, but you're going to eventually be asked if you want to take the red or blue pill eventually.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you one, you and I both probably got a prescription for the red pill, like one wasn't enough, you know. How deep does the rabbit hole go? Well, hey, let's show you what's actually going on. And boy, then it takes a couple months or maybe even a couple years to repair the inner workings after you actually see what's going on. You look around you and go, wait, what's up with health care? And our schools aren't taking care of our kids. And they're poisoning our food. Wait, who are they? And wait, what is this? And then there's the exposure of what's actually – and oh, God, oh, my, what are we going to do here? And what we're going to do becomes kind of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's on the call, everybody who's listening, so here's the real key, right? So if you've been drawn in, most likely you are inspired. Does that come from inspiration and in spirit? Yes. And how do you connect with that? By inspiring and expiring. Inspire, expire. It's the breath. The key, the gateway is the breath for those. So after you get it, you can just go ahead and sign up for Dan's courses and start practicing right away. You don't need to think about it twice. You don't need to look at your bank account. You just go ahead and swipe the card and dive in, because that's where the inspiration lies. And from that place, moving forward and interacting with every individual that you see, and when you see an amount of suffering or something that is not quite in alignment and or harmony with the highest self, that you would step in and say, hey, I got this cool, you should try this thing. It's crazy. Here, try this. And you just kind of ninja your way in a little bit, you know, and just remind people to breathe, right? So this gift, this we are a family. This is a very unique gift, a very unique gift that we have. And it does lead to the heart and is about the heart. And y'all can go ahead and concentrate on the medical, you know, the reasons and the hypotheses and what's been proven. And then we can attach brain waves and we can but this is yoga. This is over 10,000, maybe, I don't know, 100,000 years. I don't even know how old this is. But this whole thing is about integration. Yoga, the word yoga, that's not an exercise. Yoga is the way to heal humanity. It means integration. It's a science, very particular science. And luckily, guys like you, Dan, right, or let's just say for the sake of talking about, let's even bring up, so like Leonard Orr, Sandra Ray, if you look at, you know, the rebirthing team, you know where all that came from. That came from India.
Yep.
And it's been restructured in a way that Westerners could swallow it, which is the same reason why Maharaji sent Richard Alpert, known as Ram Dass, back to the States to share these gifts, because nobody was going to listen to some guy who was a vacuum salesman come and tout breathwork and yoga, right?
Yeah.
But if a Harvard tenured psychologist from Harvard came and started talking, people would listen. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So this is the same thing that it's what you're doing, right? It's the
well,
same.
It is. And I think what's happened is that for those who are ready, it doesn't take much. If you're ready, just the breath is enough. And so it's like, it seems that at these, maybe I don't know much about history, but there must be at certain points in our history and our evolution, there's a mass of people who are ready, and it creates kind of an energy so that all it takes is a spark to start a huge fire. And so I love the word conspire, conspiracy, breathing together. And that's what you're doing. You're traveling around the world, working with groups, getting people to breathe together. And you had a real experience that was so real that you couldn't walk away from it. You couldn't ignore it. You felt compelled to share it. And from when I began many years ago, it seems as if things have accelerated much, much more. And what it took us, you know, when I got into rebirthing in the mid-70s, you know, we did 10, 20 sessions a year, and beautiful things started to happen. Now, that whole evolutionary process, all that healing, all that growth, all that awakening can happen in a few minutes, in a day, in a weekend. And one of the things that really caught me, you kind of confirmed it for me, is you talk about 7 minutes, and maybe it was 7 minutes for you, and because it was 7 minutes for you, for people who are ready, that's all it takes for them. And so one of the reasons, the main reason you're on this call is because you're somebody who is using the breath, who is meeting people with the breath, and who is serving the spirit of breath. So talk to us about just what are you teaching about the breath? How are you using it? What are you encouraging people to do? How are you encouraging people to breathe? Let's talk about what are you teaching around the breath?
7 years ago, there was a fallout, if you want to call it that, organized fallout in the banking system. And I was at that time a finance guy, but I'd been into yoga for 4 or 5 years already. And I built the Breath Center. So the Breath Center is the entity. There's no limit to what can be created with the breath, and I've always had a very big appetite. So the idea of breathing myself, most important, obviously, the idea of breathing others, most beneficial, beautiful gift any human being could ever receive to move forward in that way. The Breath Center started out working, with people one-on-one. Then I started working. I opened a yoga studio in West Los Angeles, did privates and groups out of there, which continued with my own studies, started to integrate the use of the practices, South American practices of shamanism, the elements, the earth totems, prayer, calling, all of those things that would be considered by some to be kind of far out maybe, but for me it was just fun. You know, it was, got to keep it interesting, right? And And for me, you know, I'll tell you what we do now, just so that everybody knows, the Breath Center is this, it's a huge organization, really. We travel the world, and we do mass healing ceremonies. So what's different about what we do? Well, anybody, if somebody has that drive within their heart, if they're a heart-centered person or they know there's a calling, there's a pretty good chance that they're maybe the H word. They probably got that kind of healer thing somewhere in them, you know. That's a real tough one to grok, right? When people say that word, you're a healer. You're like, oh God, don't. I'm working with the breath. But I took the work into the substance abuse community and had it in the Western model for a long time and worked with people with PTSD and addiction challenges and Axis 1 and 2 disorders, bipolar, borderline personality, and made my way through that. And then, I found that there was some corruption in some of those businesses, and I said, I'm going to do Michael Baker one more time, and I launched this Michael Brian Baker, the Breath Center, which was this kind of like, it's like this rock and roll tour, but instead of guitars and drums and amplifiers, our tools are feathers and essential oils and gongs and crystal bowls, and we take a team all around the world to festivals and conferences, and we do mass healing ceremonies. So we're doing these healing ceremonies, kind of shamanic in nature, non-denominational, just kind of really magical experiences for, as many people as you can fit in the room. So at this point, we're at about 300 people per day, and we'll go and do 4 days at a festival. We're headed out to Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow for a yoga festival called Bhakti Fest Midwest. Bhakti is the practice of devotion. For those who don't know that word, it's the practice of ecstasy or bliss through contact with the divine, through the practice of devotional yoga. We'll go out there and we'll see, we'll work with a couple hundred people a day. I don't know any other modality that you can reach 900 people over a 3-day period and create the amount of transformation, realization, and healing that the Breath Center has been able to do over the last really 3 years has been the really, really huge growth. And for me, the way that I work with people is I work on what we call orchestrating epiphany. And I say that an experience with the Breath Center is a spiritual treasure hunt for the soul. This is the unfolding of each person's, realization of their own their an individuation of the divine, that the spirit breathes through us all, and that our dreams are limitless and that they can be realized. I mean, if you told me, a lot of people, I don't know if you do this, but I love to do this stuff where you go and see like psychics or astrologers or just people who are super connected, and they'll say, in a past life you were a farmer, and wow, cool, tell me more about that. I love that stuff, and I think if somebody would have told me in a future incarnation, for those that believe the spirit is infinite, that I was traveling the world as a healer or an agent of healing, working with thousands and thousands of people, mass numbers of people, helping to create an acceleration of conscious awareness and the awakening of humanity, I would say I wouldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't believe it.
Well, I was in your in that launching of your of the 2000
remembering tour.
Remembering, right? And the people in that room, I mean, they're obviously the people who breathed with you, were glowing, were radiant, were loving, were peaceful, were bright, were shining. And so, you know, the evidence that what you're doing is really changing lives is unarguable. I can remember the first time when I was traveling through Europe in 1980 with Louise, who's on the line. We were doing rebirthing, and we started to encounter the, at the time it was Rajneesh Sannyasins. And every time we breathe, now he's known as Osho. Every time we breathe with Sannyasins, they were so open, they were so bright, they were so courageous. They just really went for it. And it made me, I said, look, I got to meet Rajneesh, because it, these are the people who he's producing. If this is what's happening to people who meet him and study with him, I got to meet him. And so I can see that happening around you, Michael, but some really beautiful people who are just so bright and so loving and so joyful, so heart-centered. And so I can see that what you're doing is changing people, and in such a beautiful way. So when you work with groups, you have helpers. I think you call them integrators. You have people who, after the session or after the process, you care enough to make sure that people are able to, you know, just don't go out back out into the world, kind of like fish out of water, flopping around, kind of incomplete. That you really care that people have a complete experience, that they can really integrate the experience, so that it isn't just something that, you know, it happens, it's temporary, and then they kind of default back to their the unconsciousness. That you have a way of awaking something up in people and making sure that it stays awake in them. And so tell us more about how, you know, how are you managing this process? How are you caring for people through the awakening and guiding people as they discover they can heal themselves?
The power, the responsibility that we take as those who've been gifted to work with this yogic science, this modality of awakening, I'll say it again, that people are glowing, it's because they're awake. Mm-hmm. Awaken, wake up. This is at the forefront of the pranic energy, or the reignition of passion within one's heart, the connection to the gifts of existence that go on in the work, and there is an innate responsibility that comes along with creating a safe container and explaining to people, meeting somebody at their level, especially for those who aren't ready. Let's remember precisely, this may be the most important thing that I say on this call. In different yugas, in the yogic science, a yuga, would, let's just call it like 12,000 years, okay? So a yuga would be 12,000 years. So right now we're in the Kali Yuga, that's K-A-L-I, and that relates to a time where things are dissolving, where the things that don't work or don't serve, that are not in Aini or equal exchange, dissolve, okay? That's this cycle. And in this cycle, we've been gifted this work. Normally, people who got this particular gift, if you look throughout history, are the people who wandered off in a cave for 30 years, meditated, and went internal, and did lots and lots of asana or yoga before they were gifted the awakening of spirit, or the rising of kundalini energy. Right, the increase of prana in the body, so that one would know that they are not separate from the divine and that it runs through them. I always like to say that which powers you powers the sun. And that's kind of, you know, one of the foundations that we work from. In this experience now, we're gifted the opportunity of a 7-minute awakening. These people took 30 years of preparing their bodies for the receiving of this. You see, this can also happen. The awakening can also happen through meditation, and it was the only way to get it. It was the only way to get it, Dan. So now, with the onset of the challenges, all you have to do is breathe. What humankind has been chasing since the existence, since the inception, the realization of God in any form, whatever you want to call it, you don't even need to believe in it. Just call it whatever. Call it that which animates animals. Or you can call it that which makes the surf roll in. I don't care. I'll call it God because I'm clear as to what it is. But in this situation, there's a huge responsibility to create a container and explain what's actually happened. And so for us, when we're working with 300 people, as we built this thing, I'd learned that we had to have guardians present. So we have people there to work on people's feet and use. We have an essential oil. You know, we have our own essential oil line. It's 58 different oils that have been built specifically for breathwork in 7 blends. Right, and that these therapeutic plant medicines can be applied to the body and used also in what I call atomizers or sprays, so that we're also bringing in the elements of air and water. We always bring in the elements when we're working with the breath. That when these people have had these experiences, that we can work on them, that we can know when it's appropriate to touch or not to touch, that we know how to hold space. And so we have a training program for our guardians, and those who are very, very gifted, the ones who really show a complete care for the awakening of humanity, the ones who are most patient, they become the integrators. And they're the ones that will sit with people after session for 2 hours if they have to, why the people go through their catharsis, why they cry, why they release the pain and suffering that they've held within their internal physical system for sometimes 40 or 50 years, right? And this responsibility, I believe, is what makes the breath center different. We're not out there just to share this and have some sort of ego or lack of humility around the power of what this actually is. And so our job as integrators is to really make sure that somebody is like, okay, right, they've wiped their last tear away, and it's like, here's the website, and we're doing this retreat next week, and you can come and be with us and experience more of this. This is not over. This is not over. What we've created is not only a full system for people to go through, right? The breath center is so, so much more than it is the tour. The tour is the icing on the cake. The breath center has its one-on-ones where people were actually sitting with me for some time in the early days. There were 3 months, what we called, so that one practice would be called the remembering, right, which is the tour that we're on now. 5 package would be called discovery. You know, a 3 month would be called an inversion, and the 9 month was called a gestation package, which is the amount of time that it takes the fetus to become an infant, to be rebirthed. And we have all of these different programs to not only bring people through their own self-realization and cleansing, the leaving behind of that which no longer serves, or the integration and reintroduction to self-love, self-nurturing, and self-care, but also the chance for them to actually learn how to do this work. And we do those in what we call universal healing camps, or now we're doing what's going to be called Pulse Summit, which is training people how to work in this way, not only with themselves and individuals, utilizing, by the way, not only the breath, but body languaging and cognitive therapy. And by the way, I don't have any bylines after my name. It's not like I'm a doctor. I don't want to even claim that. That's not what I'm interested. I'm just holding space for spirit to do its work, but also have created something quite spectacular around it. When I was a kid, I always loved music and the peak experience, right? When we become the peak experience for peak performance. You know, and from the base, whatever that means for somebody, that could just mean that they're experiencing some semblance of depression. Maybe they've lost a family member. Maybe they've lost a job. There's just something that they're having trouble reconciling with. It's taking them out of harmony with themselves. And their next up-leveling might just be the clearing of that. That might be their peak experience.
Yep.
But for us, for me, it was always about, I kind of wanted to, be a rock musician or an actor or be in front of a lot of people. When I was young, I never knew that it was because I wanted to help nurture humanity into this next level of awareness. I didn't understand that in my youth. But now it's very clear to me that as I work with thousands and thousands of people, and as we developed a product line, and as we developed public relations and a nonprofit arm and our, online presence and all of these things, that it was about casting a wider net, and that there was this responsibility to make sure that people really got it, that they really got
and
it.
So
did the work.
Beautiful. Wow, just beautiful. So the Breath Center is in Ojai, California, is that right?
Correct.
And what's your website? How can people find you and see what your programs are happening and so on?
TheBreathCenter.com. It's TheBreathCenter.com. TheBreathCenter.com.
Beautiful, TheBreathCenter.com. And I want to get the thing that's still resonating in every cell of my body when you spoke about this, what's happened 2,000 years ago. I talk about the Buddha, 2,500 years ago, he was the only person awake on the planet practically,
I love this share that you have.
How difficult that must have been, to wake up amidst the world of total unconsciousness. But now, literally, there are millions of Buddhas, millions of awakened people on this planet. And so for those who are ready, it's so much easier now. It doesn't take 30 years meditating in a cave. It just takes a willingness, a readiness, and we're standing on the shoulders of so many people before us, and we're surrounded by a field of consciousness that it's so much easier now. And I tell people, I talk about it like awakening the Buddha nature. You can awakening your Christ self, your higher self, the God in you, however we want to talk about it. And, one way of talking about it is our Buddha nature. Everyone has this Buddha nature, this place in us that has never been touched by anything that has happened in this world. And nothing that has ever happened to us affects this place in us. It's pure, it's original, it's innocent, it's powerful. And even we cannot influence this place. Even we cannot disturb this place. And nothing that ever happened to us has had any effect on this place. And when we find this place in ourselves, suddenly everything changes, or gradually everything changes, but everything changes. And everything has a light around it. Everything has a light within it. And so when we wake up to it in ourselves, we start to see it everywhere. And so when it's you get a few logs that are burning and you put them together and the fire gets much bigger. So, everyone who's even a little bit awake, if you gather with other people who are also awake or who want to awaken, God, it's so much easier. And we're down to 7 minutes, and I believe it. One of the trainings I'm thinking about doing, we're calling it the Overnight Buddha Training. Because if you're ready, you don't have to spend 20 years in a cave anymore. If you're ready, and if you have the support, and if you can open your heart, and if you can just breathe, it can happen, and it can happen really quickly. And so you could pass a Buddha on the street and not know it. You could be living next door to a Buddha and not realize it. And I like to say that you could be a Buddha and not realize it. If you're not careful, you could be a Buddha and not realize it. So we are that close to living the dreams of our ancestors. We are so close to coming to this place it's been a 1,000-year journey, you know, or longer. And we're so close now that all it takes is maybe a word, maybe, you know, just one little thing we do, or just sitting with someone for a few minutes. Almost anything, you know, will work because we're so close to, we're so in a state of readiness now. And that's one of the things I've been looking, how do we create readiness? Because that's what I'm looking for in people now. I realize, hey, if you're ready, the next teacher you meet, it's going to work. The next book you read, it'll have the answer. The next technique or meditation you practice, it'll work for you. And it has nothing to do really with the teacher or the book or the technique. It has to do with readiness. And so I'm developing ability to sniff out readiness, but there must be a way to help create readiness. Can you talk to that? How can we awaken readiness in people? So I'm breathing into my heart right now. And if you can hear me out there, and if you have some readiness in yourself, can you recognize that readiness? Can you form an intention to connect with your purpose? To remember why we're here? To do your small part in bringing it alive in other people, bringing it more alive in yourself.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. It's so powerful. You know, I just want to say I'm so humbled to be able to share with you. I really do mean it. I see clearly. You know, I don't know a lot about a lot, but I do know about certain things. Like, I feel them in my gut. You know, it's just like a mother's intuition that this work is, it's ancient knowledge, but that it is the wave of something very, very powerful coming. And I thank you so much for your commitment to it.
It is a wave. It is a wave. Isn't that right? It is. It's a wave, and it's almost a surging. I sense the ocean and how, you know, the ocean just surges, and it can lift a battleship, that something is rising up in people, rising up in the world. And it's, at the same time, this insanity keeps expressing itself. It's like the opposite. You know, we live in kind of a dual reality where the more people, the more love is awakened, it seems that the more of the opposite is trying to, you know, stay alive. So we're getting these huge opposite extremes happening. You know, and it can be really frightening, because I guess at one point we just have a choice. Which way are you going to flip or flop? And are you going to go the way of the darkness, or are you going to choose love? Are you going to look the other way, or are you going to dive in? And in each moment we have this choice. It's getting really intense. And things are accelerating and intensifying. And we don't have the luxury of sitting in a cave for 20 years anymore. We need to wake up now. And I'm so glad that you are part of this movement. And what instructions do you give people to when you actually encourage them to breathe? What are you having them focus on while they breathe? How would you describe either the way that you encourage people to breathe, or the method of breathing, or What can you say specifically about how to use our breath, how to work with the breath, play with the breath?
For me, and I know this is going to sound corny, but I just have to make it very simple. It's about love.
Yeah.
I actually spend more time I spend more time unwinding people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to think anymore. And people have thought too much. We've thought ourselves right into a hole. As a matter of fact, we've thought ourselves right out of our hearts. We've thought ourselves right out of connection with one another. We've thought ourselves into a fear-based modality that could, in time, lead to the extinction of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to grow or die. There's really,
yeah.
We're getting to the point where there will be no choice. I can remember reading the Bible how, something happened and two people are laying in bed and one is lifted up and the other is left behind. And that something like a flashpoint is coming. And if we aren't in our hearts, if we're still holding on to the ego and our mind-made realities and trying to grok reality with our thinking mind, God, we're going to miss it. And so breathing, for me, breathing puts people into their heart. If you focus on the feeling of breathing, you find yourself focusing on the area around your heart. And it is simple, isn't it, Michael? It's really about love. And some people, they hear that, and maybe it's just been, we've just heard it so much. It's almost like a cliche. I love my Nike sneakers. I love pizza. It's just people hear it, but they don't get it. And so
I know.
So I love it. Using the breath to just focus on love and breathe in love, breathe out love. Trust your heart, watch your mind resist and chatter and say, oh, this is silly, or, oh, I already know this. And so that stops people from actually practicing, when the mind says, oh, I know what that is. And then they don't do it because the mind is already satisfied. Oh, yeah, I know what it is. I heard that. So getting people to actually practice, to do it, and then something happens. And there's no escaping it. And maybe it takes some time. Maybe some of us are slow learners. I know I have a lot of people in my life who are still waiting for me to like wake up to some obvious things. And we all have these blind spots. But a way through is always through the heart. And how we need to remember that and remind ourselves of it. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It really is as simple as breathing and focusing on love. Yeah. Jeez. Oh, God. You keep reminding me of the simple truths.
We can get confused, but the truth is everything that we do, the work, all of it, the way we look, all of it is for love. We just want to be loved, and that's all there is to it. And we forget, And I forget. Why do I say that? Not because I know it.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself.
You don't get enlightened, and then it's just some static state. It's a moment-to-moment process of waking up again and again in each moment and remembering again and again in each moment. It's an eternal process. Hey, I'm just reminded that Louise is listening in. And Louise, has anybody raised their hand? Do we have any people who want to ask Michael something or say anything?
Well, let me just give instructions. If you press *2, you can raise your hand and I'll unmute you and you can speak with Michael and Dan.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful day.
It's great too that we get to actually share in this way too, because you think about like what's going on in the world right now and the challenges that people are facing, and here we are sitting with each other talking about something that's, you know, we're discussing all that's right in the world.
Hey, and one person sitting in a room focusing on their heart and breathing love changes the energy in a room. I mean, the only people who don't know that are people who haven't done it, tried it, been there. It's such an amazing, how much power each of us has, healing ability we have, just by going there ourselves, how we start to wake that up in other people. You know, I'm sitting, we were in France here about a month ago, and we had a couple of people from the Renault group, you know, high corporate executive. He doesn't mind me talking about him. Mueller, Christian Mueller, he's vice president of product development, I think, for Renault, and one of their designers was at our breathing thing. And I know that the board meetings at Renault are never going to be the same, because he got up from his breathing session and he felt compelled to literally hug and kiss everyone in the room, and he couldn't relax until he had done it. he couldn't, it was so beautiful to be there. And I know he's making a difference in the world now. Just him in a meeting, just his presence is making a difference in a world I could never get to. I mean, those kind of people stay away from me by the thousands. And he's in the middle of them doing the work right now without doing anything. His presence is becoming something that's making a difference. And that's something really beautiful about the breath. It gives people this ability that their own presence, their simple presence, can make a difference. What a miracle, you know, what a great evolution. Really.
So Dan, we
yes.
have a couple of hands up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the Skype user in Bakersfield, California.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bakersfield. Bakersfield?
Hello. Hi, who's there?
Well, let me go to the next one.
Okay.
Escondido, California.
What?
Hello?
Maybe if I can unmute.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Escondido, California, you're unmuted.
Go ahead and speak.
I guess people got out of their heads, and I guess people are out of their heads and into their hearts.
Yay. Everyone has their own Skype connection.
Okay. Again, if you want to ask a question, press star 2.
It's pretty complete, right? You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got Bakersfield back.
Okay,
go Bakersfield,
ahead.
California Skype user.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Very good. Yes, we can.
Hi, Dan. It's Tanya from Slovenia.
Tanya from Slovenia. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Wonderful to hear from you. Tatiana is a medical doctor. She's she's the leading breath worker in her country of Slovenia. It's so nice to have you on the line. It's so beautiful to hear from you.
Thank you. I would like to thank you, Dan, and also Michael, for reminding me of the power of the breath. I miss you, Dan. I'm thinking a lot about you. It's really so powerful, you know, just to be reminded, as both of you shared, you know, it's every moment reminder. We have to keep on reminding us on what is important. And, there are so many of us. And to be in the in the community, in the energy field of people who are aware is so important. And so I thank both of you for what you are sharing. And I would love to invite you come to Slovenia.
Oh, it's such a beautiful country. And the city of Ljubljana is so beautiful. The bridges and the river there and the old part of the town. It's just such a lovely place. And the mountains there. Ah, what a beautiful country. And such beautiful people. It's such a nice surprise. We thought we were talking to someone in Bakersfield, California.
Yeah, that's what it says here in the control panel.
Okay, cool. So, okay, well, thank you for the wonderful words and for the love. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And also, you know, here's again these synchronicities, this tour that we've come up with. This year, actually, why didn't come up with it, but the remembering. Thank you for reminding me, the remembering and also the remembering the members of the tribe that would come and remind people of who they are. The remembering are the members also coming together again, like you and I, Dan, to create more synergy because there's strength in numbers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd like to just add that there's many people actually listening on the web, and I got an email from one of our Inner Circle members, Cecile, and because she's on the web, she can only listen in, but she did want to say thank you for doing this today and honoring so gently your commitments. What a great conversation. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow.
So that was an email from Cecile.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, good. What a great day. I'm so happy. So, everyone, thebreathcenter.com, Michael Brian Baker, look him up. If you're in California, find him. Look at his schedule, where he's going to be traveling to. Get in the room with this man. You know, listening to us talk is one thing, but being in the energy of the room, the space that he holds, the space that he creates, the energy that comes through him, you need to experience that. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone who's on the call. This has been recorded. We'll have it posted up on the website shortly. So if you missed it or you want to tell somebody that they need to listen, watch for it. We'll be posting it on the website really soon. We'll send the link off to everyone on how to hear the recording. So thank you again, Michael. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Michael. I just like to say also that this coming Sunday, got to do a little commercial here, we have Jim Morningstar on our webinar this Sunday at noon.
Yeah, Jim Morningstar is one of the original rebirthers, one of the first 10 people, I believe, to get rebirth in the world, has more experience with breath work than just about anyone I know. He's a clinical psychologist. He's developed a really beautiful approach to breath work based on body themes, personality types. He has specific interventions that he's developed for these different body themes and personality types, a great wealth of knowledge and experience in breath work. That's next Sunday. He's going to be on our OIS, our one-year seminar webinar. Yeah, be sure to catch that. You will be glad you did. So, okay, thanks for reminding us of that, Louise. And thank you again, everyone. And thank you, Michael. I can't wait to be in a room with you again. Be well, brother.
Love you so much. Thank you. Take good care of yourselves and one another.
Thank you. Love you.
Bless you.
Ciao.